washed the dishes, and he made meals for the men at the factory. Mm-hmm. There used to be a fertilizer factory that's over here now, was down there on the railroad. Mm-hmm. You remember that was there, though, don't you?
No.
If so, you were very little.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Mr. Is that the same one that Mr. Ike Long was like the overseer? I have his book record showing that the people, men of James City, that worked there.
Yeah, he was that's the same one. Mm-hmm. They eventually moved it all the way over here. If we just cross the road, they still operate.
That's the Meadows Company.
Meadows Company. Mm-hmm. And the Meadows Company owned a lot of, I guess at one time they owned slaves, but they always were outstanding in the black community. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever went wrong, the Meadows always came to their rescue. Mm-hmm.
Well, is it true that when they were told to leave Old James City, Meadows Company owned a lot of properties in the area?
Uh-huh. And came over here. Mm-hmm.
And bought the land
mm-hmm.
from them.
Yeah.
Now, there's a man, a Mr. Brooks, that was a black man from the area that had so much land over there.
That was M. Hicks and them's grandfather. The Brookses and the Browns owned this area. Mm-hmm. The Brookses on one side, M. and them's granddaddy, and the Browns on the other. And which is Brownsville. Mm-hmm. And they used to live. You remember the house Maverick lived in?
Mm-hmm.
That used to be their house. They used to live right
behind
there.
Shallow Church.
Mm-hmm. And the Brookses are on this side of the track.
Where we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they had land they sold, you know, after the fellows, my daddy bought his place, I think, from the Brookses. Oh, you know,
how did they, apparently they were free before, you know, how did they come about so much money and property? Just like everybody owned property back there, how did they come into?
Well, not everybody, you know, some people don't want anything anyway. They're going to depend on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But they inherited it from somebody.
Yeah, maybe their mother, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Because for the short period of time, own so much land in this area. Now we know that over on the other side,
you couldn't own it. That's the reason they had to come over here.
So they came over here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were the ones selling it.
Uh-huh. Now, actually, according to my grandmother and those other people that knew, James City was given to the slaves, but they never had a deed to it. They gave it to them to use, maybe, because that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Then after a while, government maybe, mm-hmm. took it over, and they had to pay rent. That's where your granddad came in and started that revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him he wasn't, he used to say, and young'un's head was sticking out all the windows.
Yeah, just looking.
Yeah. And I said, Ms. Washington Spivey said, I ain't paying no more rent because it belongs to me.
Well, they went to court
mm-hmm.
over that law
mm-hmm.
Years ago in the 100 years
ago. Mm-hmm.
So finally they had to go, and that's when they
thought
purchasing land over here.
Yeah.
But Ms. Annie, the strange thing is that apparently they said it didn't belong to the people, but for so many years, they never did anything with that land over there in James City.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the number of years they had to let it lay, you know, before the government could take it, because it was given to them. Mm-hmm. It's like a man Washington Spire said, he wasn't going to pay for what belonged to him.
Well,
but they had lived that pain.
It was like a reparation for their enslavement and helping in during the war, whereas a lot of countries, they have been paid, like the Chinese, Japanese, all these other people, for wartime. So I would say that it seems, with a little research, that was given to the people, turned over. Instead of money, the land was turned over to
mm-hmm. the people. Well, I think one thing was when the government freed them, mm-hmm. they had to make arrangements for some place for them to live.
Right.
And they brought I guess it was about the same thing all over. Mm-hmm. But these people that were brought to James City, they understood that these makeshift houses belonged to them. But yet, one real estate man got greedy and started making them pay. Well, and that's where Washington Spivey and his followers rebelled. We ain't gonna pay for what belonged to us.
Mm-hmm. I understand they had post offices over there, hospitals,
Union left. Well, after they put the slaves down, the Washington, what's his name? James, is it James something?
Horace.
Huh? James. No, yeah, they sent a priest, here, mm-hmm. Catholic. And then that house that Annie Stove used to live in, mm-hmm. you remember that two-story
house?
When I was growing up, that was a kind of a school. Mm-hmm. The missionaries had a school there. Okay. And I wasn't old enough to go, but I used to go there. Mm-hmm. And they taught the girls how to sew, how to make clothes and crochet and knit and stuff like that. And then some of the missionaries stayed with Reverend Dudley. And those missionaries stayed in touch. They used to come and go. And they brought Goldie, you know Goldie, Miss Mulholland's Goldie. Mm-hmm. Well, the missionaries brought her here. And mm-hmm. then those families that didn't have children and wanted children, they would bring them for them.
That's what happened to my grandma Beck. She was brought here by the missionary, with the missionaries.
Yeah.
And some of the people he adopted her, Mrs. Captain Midget.
Yeah, the Midgets.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
His grandma.
Uh-huh.
Because her mother died at the time. She was a missionary from Boston.
Uh-huh.
And she died.
Uh-huh.
And so the missionary was going to take her back to Boston when they leave. But some of the people said they would take care of her.
Uh-huh.
So they left her with Miss Captain Midget.
Yeah. And she raised them.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those, the thing about it, like your grandma was more white than she was black, let's face it. But you couldn't tell her from white. And I guess there's not too many people, she was too white to be black. She had some black, so she had to be black.
Right, right, right. I think that's why they were going to take her back to Boston.
Uh huh.
Miss Catherine.
And I guess that's when she met West Foy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just a little girl.
Yeah. She fared good though, because he was smart.
Yeah.
He had a big house and. And Newton Allen were kind of considered rich.
They had ponies and everything else, she said.
Huh?
They used to have a pony in there.
Oh, yeah. And my daddy worked with one of the brothers, Best Boy's brother. That's how he started in the store business. And those people that would work could have something. Yeah. My daddy had a horse and cows and all that stuff.
That's what amazes me when I look back at all the things that those people had and tried so much and were successful. Today, when I look around and I don't see those things, it alarms me.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Different things happened, you know, that made it, broke everything up, you know. And then I think the younger generations, they got along so good, they weren't as ambitious.
True.
Mm-hmm. They weren't as
ambitious. Already laid out for them.
Sweat had already been sweated mm-hmm. for them to have it, mm-hmm. and they didn't value it too much.
That's why I feel it's important for us to preserve this history so that they can go back and look and see some of the struggles that these people went through to have where they are today, which they should be farther because of the struggle.
Right.
Even with the 60s, they don't understand what took place, a lot of them, the struggles.
You're right. Some people have ambition and move on anyway, and some have to inherit it. But my best boy, I don't know what happened with all the stuff that he did have, but you know, something happened.
Yes.
And some of it was with him, because he, I think the reason he and Miss Becca didn't get along, he was a quarter.
Loved women.
Yeah.
That's usually
doing
it.
Yeah.
Generation does it every time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Miss Becca always was smart. She was a smart woman. She always had a garden, she sold the vegetables, and she kind of kept her little flock together.
Yeah, my mom would say they'd have to get up early in the morning to go to New Bern to sell vegetables. To sell vegetables,
mm-hmm.
Before they go to school.
Before they went to school.
Mm-hmm. And then in the evening they go back and collect who was interested in more vegetables for the next day.
Right. But you know, that was good, mm-hmm. in a sense, mm-hmm. to be taught, because my Uncle Ben and I had to get up before daylight, and by this time my dad had lost his, he worked at the railroad, had lost his foot, and we'd had to go out there to the shop, and Ben built a fire, and I put on the coffee pot, and could put on rice, and then I had to make biscuits, and I wouldn't, Papa had a little counter thing, I wasn't tall enough, he had a block there. And I made men breakfast for those men at the factory when I was about 12.
Okay.
I hated it so bad. But you know, it put something in you.
Yes, it does.
It makes you know that if you want something, work for it.
You have to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's important today.
That's important.
You want it to fall out of the sky.
That's right.
If it don't make $1 million on the first day's work, they don't want to work.
Right. But it gives you ambition. That's, you got it double from watching the Spider-Man.
He's about to kill me.
I'm
trying to get me on the feed both of them.
Both sides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's some people that don't have any ambition. It makes you kind of glad and proud that you were made to do things. And
you want to give it to them. Why? What's the matter? It's out there. Go for it.
Right, right, right.
I think I had two sons, and I think I drove them crazy, telling them how they do it, how you can't do this, and you can, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they would look at me sometimes, please, Mom, give me a chance to let me complete this first, and then I'll try that.
Yeah.
I think about four things at one time.
Right.
And they're all happening. That's
yeah.
how I see it. And
right.
When it's all done.
It's done,
yeah,
right.
I can concentrate on one thing.
But you know, I think that ambition goes on down through the line. Somebody grab it after a while.
Sometimes it takes a lot of generations.
A lot of generations. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's why I say I don't believe in giving up hope, because somewhere along the way,
uh-huh.
somewhere somebody's gonna pick it up.
Gonna pick it up.
Right.
True. Right now, Ruth Ann's daughter is very ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
She sews.
Okay.
And she makes hats and suits.
Designer.
And, well, she took economics in school.
Mm-hmm.
But she makes a living sewing now. Mm-hmm. She's still in school, though,
mm-hmm.
in Richmond.
It comes up.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, I'm in, like you say, most of the social activities centered around the churches.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing people talk about excursions, going on excursions. Did you ever?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about the church.
Then they went by train.
Mm-hmm.
And the train get on the track up there by James. Well, I still call all of that James City, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And there where the Marta Inn and all that, it's still James City, because that's the center of James City.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. And get on the train and go to Moorhead,
mm-hmm.
to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the churches would run excursions,
mm-hmm.
for way of making money for the church.
Your mom said everybody would be standing out when you come back to see who was on.
Yeah,
it was a
yeah.
big thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They would, No, I don't think there's anybody there. Wait a minute, let me see.
Some kind of
wind. The wind.
But I tell you about James City, there was a time there were just black businesses and black people.
Mm-hmm. And then the farm, then the whites started moving in. All out there. Yeah, you remember Hmong and Business? You remember the meal, part about the meal.
I remember the meal, one meal that was there when I was a little girl. That was the last one. You can still see some of the equipment still over there.
Yeah,
I remember that one.
But two meals.
But they say there was a lot of them on the water.
Yeah.
The
meals over on that side and meal over on this side. And that's out there where Miss Dorcas lived. Y'all lived right to the end of that street, though.
Okay.
But those people, they got along, except as I remember growing up, it seemed like some of them people had too many fusses over children.
Because watching over each other's children.
Yeah. St. Hill's grandmama and Nicey Beasley and them, they used to have fuss and spells every week.
I understand that there was always one or two in the community that
Kept
something.
And ended up in the courthouse.
Yeah. My mom say every Monday morning, and I think that courthouse downtown Luburn, they would fuss and fight on the weekend, and they all had to wind up in the courthouse Monday morning.
Right.
And
then they come back almost holding hands.
Walking in. Well, they have to go to court.
Pay the money out. Fussing mostly over children fighting.
Now, I'd like to say that there is a place that nobody else knows, but in New Bern, where they would go to hear for the hearing.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be right in the courthouse. It's a building downtown, my mom pointed out, on Raven Street.
Right.
There was a lady that would stand there, would sit there, and they just come tell her what they did over the weekend and pay the money.
Pay the money, they satisfied, home. Go home. Till next time. But I tell you what, they could fight among themselves. But nobody else been that violent. Do them sides that were mad jump on them. They're almost a clannish. That's what they were. James said the people were clannish. They could be ever so mad
with each other.
Don't know outside to come in there mad. Because they used to run blacks back to New Bern. And the blacks come over here to get food.
Because
we always had food.
Yeah.
And even when y'all were going to school.
Everybody had a garden.
Uh-huh.
They always had some food.
I often think about that girl was Daisy, Marion's Daisy, was talking about what she had for breakfast, collard green, and this girl made fun of it. And she should have had some collard green because she got so skinny and TV on her, and she had a plenty. But we ate what we had.
That's it.
You warm up them collard greens and dumplings and that fat meat when you come from school.
We didn't have a special like bacon and eggs.
No.
For breakfast, whatever was available, they ate it.
We ate it.
If you had it in the evening and it was left over, I remember my grandma. It wasn't like, you know, when I came along, we still had to have a separate breakfast, something different.
Yeah,
but whatever you had.
You had some collard greens for supper and some left over, you warm them up,
make those, what was
that dumpling? Cut the dumpling in half and turn it down in the grease. That we stay healthy, too.
That's why we lived long.
Right.
And
they made soup, my mother and my daddy used to make big old pots of soup, and everybody ate. Well, you know, even during my time, and y'all came around, there's always a biscuit. Always something.
Miss Andy, those big black pots, I have found one And they used to cook out,
hanging.
This is going way back, a little bit longer, over the fireplace.
Yeah.
You don't remember any of that, but my mom said that. I used to say, well, how did they bake their biscuits or their bread? And she said they would push it.
Put it in the ashes.
In the ashes.
Yeah, I experienced that.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, by my yard. And they'd had the pot, they had it so the thing, in Tryon Palace got all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And you could push the pot over the flame because to keep the fire under, it was fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have stoves.
Mm-hmm.
The first stoves I know about was a cook stove.
Mm-hmm.
And they push it over there, and then they could have a way of pulling it out and stirring it up and
mm-hmm.
pushing it back.
Mm-hmm.
And take potatoes and put it in the ashes,
mm-hmm.
cook them and bake them in the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Bake potatoes in the ashes. Mm-hmm. But the fireplace was the main heat. Then after a while they had stove, cook stoves,
mm-hmm.
where you could bake inside the stove.
And for their beds, she was telling us, most of the furniture back there after the war, was handmade.
Mm-hmm. Handmade baby beds, handmade. But always some carpenters, because that's what your granddaddy was,
mm-hmm.
a carpenter. George Washington,
mm-hmm.
which was Miss Martha's brother.
And
May Washington, Washington Spire, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm. I say you and Bert and all them came in because
yeah.
George Washington was Bert's granddaddy.
Mm-hmm.
And Aunt Rosa married George Bill, me and them came along.
I have a picture of Armie Bill, let me share, her grandma, which was Mariah.
Maya, we call her Maya. Uh-huh.
I'm going to try to put that on the exhibit.
Uh-huh.
They have Robert's father when he's an infant. How old would Robert be if he was alive now?
Robert would be old now,
because
I'm going on 82.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Robert would been, I guess, yeah, he was older than
I
was. Yeah.
So if he was a little baby in her lap, you know.
Yeah, he was a baby in the, that was Mama's and Aunt Rose's mother.
Yeah, so that's your mom,
grandma. My grandmother. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't know her.
Mm-hmm.
She died before I was born.
Mm-hmm. You've seen the picture, though.
Yeah, I've seen the picture.
I told her I would cherish it, take good care, and put it back to the family until we get a real museum.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that grandmother.
Mm-hmm. She said she was born back in the 1830s.
Uh-huh. But
she was a slave.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about her being a slave. I didn't hear about her. I think she was born after the war.
And
I think she was born here in James City.
Mm-hmm. Miss Frank, your grandma.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was Maya's daughter.
Go ahead. I'll get it out the car and let you look at it.
Mm-hmm. I know. I've seen it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Robert sitting on her lap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up, she did tell
me,
it's a
daughter. Had to be Sarah.
Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know Mama's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She was already dead when I came along. But I know Mama said that her daddy was a woman chaser.
They all. I tell you, I hate to talk this, but my mom say that's what James City is so close knit.
Yeah.
Everybody was a chaser. They had a family. He had a family.
Yeah.
So it was one of those, like the kings and queens over there, keep the money in the family.
Yeah.
They kept everything.
Everything in the family.
Yeah. And it is true. It's very few families here that are not connected.
Interrelated. Connected either by birth or friendship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they could be mad. And you know, that came up through all of us. Because I remember when I was down on the corner and Lucy Spencer had, checked down Cherry Point had been misplaced. Mm-hmm. And they had to put it in FBI, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. But it came there asking me where Lucy Spencer lived. Mm-hmm. I say, why? Still wait, yeah, just before I moved from down there. Because I knew Nets sold whiskey. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And I didn't know I wasn't going to send him over there and maybe catch Nets selling whiskey.
That bootleg.
And he said, do you know Lucy Spencer? Where she lives? I said, I don't know.
That's right.
Then he looked at me so strange. I was supposed to know because sure. I was keeping store in the neighborhood. That's when I was down on Conk. Then I rang, he say, she ain't gonna tell me nothing. Mm-hmm. So he showed me her check, she was working Cherry Point, mm-hmm. and a check had been misplaced. Then he showed me the check. I said, why didn't you tell me that to start with?
Right.
I said, she lives right across the That man had to laugh. It tickled me too. But I knew Nat sold whiskey.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sending that white man over there and catch Nat. We were clannish, though.
Yeah, they
yeah, we were clannish.
Yeah, when you come ask some questions,
uh-huh.
you have to know the inside.
Yeah. The cheering people could fight among themselves in Jane City, but nobody else better not come in.
Now, they got that reputation. I remember some research that I did that they were saying that they would come over when they were talking about running them off the land,
uh-huh.
and they sent the sheriff over here.
Mm-hmm. They ran him over.
And they ran him in the water. He had to swim back. And so he sent with a governor and said, look, if you have to come over here because these people are not.
That was the time to call the military.
Yeah, they sent the
National Guard, we call it now. Mm-hmm. And they came to James City.
Mm-hmm.
And James Daniel's granddaddy had a place up James City,
okay.
and a flat farm.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I don't remember this. Mama say she was a child still. Mm-hmm. They made lemonade, and the National Guard came, and they called it the militia, which mm-hmm. is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they all came and had a big party. Mm-hmm. James City people were pacified then.
Yes, yes.
But they raised themselves some hell with sticks and bricks.
Yeah, and sticks and everything. Wait for
uh-huh.
We call it the National Guard. The military to come in and save. So that's when some of those are attorneys and lawyers that they sent to Congress, like George White.
Yeah.
O'Hara.
O'Hara.
And uh-huh.
That's when this
rather than have bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
During that period of
time. They had to show us something.
Because
they didn't mind dying. They didn't mind it. Because they felt like the rights were taken.
Mm-hmm. Now, my grandma Martha stayed in that old house. That's why she refused to leave there. Up until we had to take her, literally pick her up and bring her out.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't take care of herself. And old James City was speaking about
uh-huh.
that they were so, they loved that land. They loved that area so much. To them, it was promised.
That's why they were brought
they
up.
They call it promised land.
Promised
and
land.
She said she would die there.
Uh-huh.
And that was Washington Spivey's daughter.
Uh-huh.
She was some of the last ones other than Bill Spivey.
Yeah, right, there. Right.
Yeah, so they still, that was like everything to them.
Uh-huh. Well, one thing, Miss Martha was a pusher.
Strong.
And we used to raise money for the church. She uh-huh. played the part of a bishop.
Uh-huh.
Had on the hat and the coat, and she had a gross voice. Like we would raise all them yeah. pennies and stuff.
Raise a lot.
Yeah.
I tried to mention some of those things, you know, in there that these are things you should go back and, you know, people enjoy them.
Right, right,
it was
right.
Fun.
And the fall graveyard, you know, that's what the way the slaves were buried.
Okay.
A lot of slaves are buried there.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing JoJo did right. He fought for that graveyard because
mm-hmm.
they were digging that up for the airport and would have got away with it.
We're not quite clear on it because now they have fenced it in. I don't know what they're going to do. It is a part of the Airport was speaking about the Four Slave Cemetery out here on Howard Road. They call we used to call it
Howard Road.
Howard Road. Mm-hmm. But I used to call it Old Airport Road.
Yeah.
But
now to me, it's still Airport.
Still Airport running through Old James City.
Yeah.
But he did fight for that. Mm-hmm. He just brought the attention to it that they were
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah.
And what amazes me about James City, Missouri, is the cemeteries, how they are located. Now, my mom says not only that was the slave.
Well, the road came across the cemetery.
Right.
Because the cemetery on that side of the road.
Okay, by Ramada on the other side.
Of the side of Ramada, yeah.
She said
yeah.
that's where her grandma buried.
Uh-huh.
Mama's.
I think even Howard was the last person buried in there. Mm-hmm. And you could see his grave clearly because people put all his old, you know, waiting on watches and clocks and stuff, and, mm-hmm. and on top of his grave was a lot of that.
So a lot of things are still in that area, because from what I understand, as you said, way back there, how you live, whatever things you did, you sort of put those pieces on your grave.
Yeah.
So he worked
yeah.
on clocks.
Worked on clocks
sort of
and watches.
Laid up whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a shame how they have disturbed those areas, historical areas.
Right.
You would find a lot of old artifacts and things in areas like that.
Yeah, sure would, because he had a lot of different clocks and stuff. They, I don't know, he didn't, but mm-hmm. the people put his stuff on his grave. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. that's the way we used to have to come from mm-hmm. James City over here, unless we came down the railroad.
Yeah.
And. There's a little, I remember Little Red Schoolhouse, too.
You did.
Sit on a hill. I wouldn't know, I must have been 4 or 5.
That was the first schoolhouse?
No, I didn't go to school there.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And Frizzell, Ada Davis, daddy, he looked like a white man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know he did, because she did.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was the principal of the school.
Mm-hmm.
I think my mama said she went to school there. But, you know, we had the school down here, because I didn't go to school in James City too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went to Southern school.
Mm-hmm. But Miss, let me just say, keep on with the school. Now, the Southern school was in New Bern.
Yeah,
okay.
Dufferfield.
Okay, I want to come back to that too, but James City school, you were a big girl when that school was put up, or you a little girl? My mother says she was some of the first one that went to that school.
Yeah, but she and Addie in that group went to that school.
Mm-hmm.
The brick school that they burnt down not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
The school, you went to that school.
Right here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before this automobile dealership.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. They burnt the old school down?
Yeah, they burnt the old school down.
I was on
the one you went to the brick school.
The brick school.
Yeah.
Went to.
I know all my children went to the brick school.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have a brick school. In fact, I don't know why my dad always sent me to school in New Bern. I had to have the best.
Was it at Barber School that you went to?
I went to Sutton School,
mm-hmm.
Amy Zion Church School.
Okay.
Amy Zion Church had a school.
Barber School came.
The J.T. Barber was a public school, West
okay.
Street.
Mm-hmm.
West Street.
Because I received some calls from ECU. They have a lot of photographs.
Oh, yeah?
Old West Street. I mean, West Street J.T. Barber.
Uh-huh.
And Barber was the principal.
Because you went to West Street, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got all of my children. You did, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a lot of photographs.
He asked me, could I use them on the exhibit? And I told him, yes, because I'm not turning anything back.
Right, right.
And I feel that eventually we will use all
right.
of this. So that's what we're planning. We've got a lot of little good pieces people are sending in.
Uh-huh, that's good.
Because people from James City did attend that school.
Yeah, so that was the high school y'all went to.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all had to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have bus. Did they have bus when y'all?
Oh, yeah.
Later,
that
yeah.
That wooden bridge that I had nightmares many years after leaving here of that bus going into that water.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the planks, my mom said they used to go over. She don't remember, but her mom told her that they would go over on barges to New Bern. Then they put this bridge with the planks that you could look in the water.
Yeah, the plank bridge.
Yeah,
I remember when they didn't have a bridge.
Okay.
And people used to walk on the railroad trestle to town. But you had to pick the time between when the train running. Some people I reckon still walk that old bridge.
Oh yeah, I know that. I've seen them standing out there.
Yeah.
Boy, I would have died trying to cross that.
Well, it wasn't too bad because the big cross ties and they were sort of close, and then there was a factory down there on that same creek, same railroad.
Is that the one that used to preserve different fruits and vegetables? Or this was later? Because I remember on the side of the old bridge, there was a factory that
they that's the one.
Preserve peaches and tomatoes.
Oh, no, that was Mac Lupton's factory.
That was later years.
That was later, yes. That was like you're going to this bridge we still got. Mac Lupton had that. And a lot of people got work down there. But then it was a fertilizer factory on that other bridge.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the train could drive up there and load the bags of fertilizer. And the white family, some of that family still lives. I used to go down there and play with the girl about my same age. And we used to play under the house. It was so high up. And Papa had his cafe down there. All I had to do was walk down the railroad and be there. Well, so many changes took place. And so far as integration goes, white and black have been integrated among themselves for years, even before. But to be in friendship or have a black friend, a white friend, they had to hide it. But white people and colored people always loved each other. The biggest trouble came was when other people got mingled up in it. Because my daddy had a car, and I forgot what the name, but the family there, two of the girls were teachers, and my daddy carried them to the school every day, because their daddy didn't have a car. But my daddy had the car because he lost his foot on the train and he was getting a pension and had a cafe, so he was kind of progressing. But your granddaddy's uncle, as far as brother had the first black business in James City that I know about.
My mom said he used to have a taxi. And they would ride, before the cars came along, he would chauffeur people around on the horse and buggy.
Yeah, he had a skirt with a fringe on the top.
Yeah.
Against a front one seat and another seat. Sam Dunson had one and Wes Ford had one. Because Wes was always Bud's boss.
Okay.
It was his brother's, but
yeah.
Wes was ambitious. Had a big house got burnt down. His house got burnt down. Somebody set his house afire, I think. But then, before his house, all the houses on the other side burned too.
Oh, I think what happened there, my mom said before his house caught on, the sparks from her house.
Sought the big house.
Because
his house was kind of
on
a hill.
She left a stove on or something that burned a hole.
And what they had the habit of doing is they wouldn't take time and cut the wood short enough and that you could put the wood in at the end of the stove and it burned down, then that other piece is going to fall and be out in the street talking. Like to burn up James City.
Like to burn full James City.
Yeah, so did. But you know, it's interesting to let your mind...
It's amazing when you speak about things, they sort of connect.
Yeah.
You know, you start connecting.
Now, B used to drink her liquor.
Yeah.
But you didn't go hungry around her.
No, sure.
She'd feed you. She always had something to give somebody.
She was something like Butcher.
Yeah, Butcher's just as good as she's going to be able to raise a whole lot of hell.
Raise hell and feed you at the same time.
Sure would. They well, one thing, James City people would fight among themselves, and they could be mad with you, but wouldn't let nobody else bother you. Butch was one of them. Clannish, that's what we were.
Yeah.
Clannish.
Had your own little clan.
Yeah, clannish.
And I think there's still, the young people have that, but they don't understand what it is.
That's, yeah, they have it.
They have it.
Yeah, they have
it. You can try to reach them, penetrate, get into them.
Yeah.
But they will stand off.
Uh-huh.
But once you're in there, they sort of protect you. Like,
yeah.
You know, don't let anybody yeah, else. Nobody,
all right, don't let me
give it to you. You know?
But nobody else better not.
They stand on the sideline and watch.
Right.
Whereas way back there, the people showed how
Yeah.
expressed it, but today they sort of like, I'll wait and see.
I'll wait and see what's going to happen. Yeah. Because the boys used to get the James City boys get together as white and black boys come over from town and start courting the girls, they run them back.
Don't bother with the women.
But now they after they started going to school together, they were more mixing. Because I used to have a house full of boys and girls all the time. You know, I had a record player and piano.
Free, let them enjoy
Yeah. Bicycle. Mm-hmm.
She always had a store. Miss Annie always had a shop. And we were young children then. And I grew up with her children. And we would always, after church, we'd come to Miss Annie's house and we'd just have a good time. We'd play the piano, we'd sing.
Played records.
Dance, we'd have our little boys' friends to come and sit down on the parlor, because most of the parents still wasn't too swift about little boys talking to you. So we would have that little freedom to come and sit down and talk, and everybody just have a good time. That was our afternoon, if it wasn't any church.
After church. Well, they had to go to church in Sunday school.
And I think that has made us strong. You
know, yeah, young, it did.
They don't get that atmosphere. Something today is just
totally. But you know what happened? It follows you, because when Gwen's children were little growing up, and I go there to visit, they always had a lot of youngs all over the steps, all over the porch. Okay. So Gwen said, Mama, go out there and look out that door and try to remind you. I said, my house full of everybody's young. Sometime I come home, one day in particular, Bill Ryder, was in the kitchen and had him some molasses and biscuits, because I'd make a lot of biscuits and food. We always had food. James said the people always had food.
Yes.
That's one thing. We always had food. And
I think that's why you don't see a lot of them out there when things are being handed out. You don't hear of them running to grab. They have that
instinct of getting their own. We were kind of clannish. We could be mad with you, but nobody else better not bother you. Yeah, we were clannish. Forget about being mad if somebody else bother you.
Is it anything that you wanted to ask?
I'm just curious. Did you ever hear any stories of people who either fought with the Union as part of the Africa Brigade, or perhaps worked as laborers putting together Fort Totten or any of the other forts around here?
I mean, I didn't quite understand what you said.
Do you know of any stories of people who fought with the Union in the Civil War as part of the Africa Brigade, perhaps, or either worked as laborers putting up the forts? I know that some of the laborers came from here in James City to put up Fort Totten.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I probably know them, but I wouldn't be able to pinpoint them because, you know, wherever they could get work, they worked. That's one thing about James City, the people, they would work.
And you can rest assured that many things that were built in that time in this area were probably built by, we can't, like you say right up front names, but
well, no, cause they worked.
They did work in those areas because back there, mostly the whites, you know, they were. We had to work for them, so, you know, I'm almost positive that you know, you could name some right up, but we don't have that. I don't.
No, well, whatever work there was to be done, they did it.
Well, how much names did you ever hear anybody talking about, fighting with the union or building those ports?
No. You know, when you think about it, there's always been sort of like a good relationship between whites and blacks in our area.
The
whites would fight for the blacks, especially those that grew up on the farms and stuff together.
And we didn't have a lot of plantations in this area.
Just farms.
I think you had an independent, when they became free people, they sort of came to this area almost free, even before emancipation, from what my research. And so most of the people, when they settled, she said they gave them the little shanties, and they had so many acreage of land around that they were able to farm on. My mom also said about the fishing, that they could go take a pole and put a little pin on it.
Yeah.
And go and catch all the fish that the family could eat, and then the rest they could sell. And so with their little farms, they became like, go over and they would sell it to the area.
Pull wagons.
Like independent.
Uh-huh. So vegetables.
And you had carpenters in the area.
Uh-huh.
That I understand the Elliots and the Davis.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were
carpentry. They did a lot of carpentry work,
uh-huh,
like buildings. And I think.